Welcome to the Interpreter Foundation podcast. Bruce Webster and Martin Tanner co-hosting today. This is a discussion topic, which is the Proclamation on the Family, the problems facing youth in the church today in connection with courtship and marriage, and just generally in society today, the negative portrayal of marriage. Please know that the mission of the Interpreter Foundation is to support all of you who are listening through the best and latest scholarship. We invite you to see everything that the Interpreter Foundation has to offer at interpreterfoundation.org. If you like this discussion podcast, please tell your friends about it and give us a 5-star rating. Because the Interpreter Foundation is not owned or controlled by the church, the comments that Bruce and I make today are solely our own. Now on to our topic. Bruce, why don't you lead us off on this one? You have a lot to say, and you gave a high council talk
Yeah,
on the
I spoke as
subject.
a high counselor in one of the wards of our stake. The theme was the divine power of the family, and of course, this is to coincide with the 30th anniversary of the Proclamation on the Family, or the Family of Proclamation. I have been using the internet for literally 40 plus years, and make use of it daily and so on. And I spend probably more time than I should going through social media posts on from Reddit, from TikTok, and so on, that talk about current issues in dating, courtship, and marriage. And I see two trends that are disturbing. First is among men, we have, and this is of course well discussed. We have factors that encourage men not to get married. That basically they can supplant what they want with casual relationships, with pornography, and with AI-based avatars, girlfriends, chatbots, waifus, and so on. With women, what I see and hear, and this isn't my outside judgment, I'm talking about what the women actually talk about, is you have these social media feeding frenzies by women critical of men, setting what they call very high standards, which are usually very unrealistic standards, very quick to decide to leave someone, to reject someone, some impossible standards, and the social media reinforces it. And part of what all this leads to is that both men and women are avoiding actual courtship and marriage. Now, outside of the confines of the church, a lot of this means a lot of casual sex, situationships, series of partners, and so on and so forth. But it also means I've seen so many different videos, particularly of women who have been married for 5, 10, 15, 20, sometimes 25 years, and become dissatisfied because of social media, become dissatisfied with their marriages and their husbands, decide to divorce, and then discover that there is no greener grass out there, and have now lost it. Part of what triggered my thought on this was a member of the High Council I'm on. We were talking about young single adults in the stake, and he mentioned his 24-year-old son, who's a returned missionary, good active member. He says, "I can't get him to actually date." I sort of prod him towards, shouldn't you be dating? Shouldn't you be, ultimately looking for an eternal companion? And a lot of men are just sort of shy of that. There's a lot of negative stuff out there about women, a lot of negative stuff out there about men, and it's keeping the two sides apart. The phrase I used in my talk is that we need a pioneering recolonization of marriage within the church. We need young men and young women, particularly young single adults, to be more willing to take the steps necessary to find a companion, recognizing that things won't necessarily work out. My first marriage ended in divorce. I didn't want it. My former wife wanted to go in a different direction, and it was devastating. It broke my heart. It impacted our kids. But then I subsequently married my current wife almost 40 years ago, who likewise was divorced by her husband, who didn't want to be a, you know, he's a member of the church, but didn't want to be a husband or father anymore. And two of us married at 33 with 9 kids between the two of us. And have had a wonderful almost 40 years of marriage. We're still nuts about each other. But love has to be a daily conscious choice. This is something you have to work at. And I think we need to raise up our kids once again with more of a focus towards marriage for both the young men and the young women. Let them know this is what they should be preparing themselves for. Let them know that, you know, school helps, mission helps, and so on. But as the proclamation makes clear, the ultimate aim of our existence is when it's possible, and it's not always possible for everyone, but when it is possible, to be able to enter into an re eternal relationship in the house of the Lord. You know, my as I said in the talk, I really have zero concern about, you know, what things will be like in the celestial kingdom, so long as I'm there with my wife. That's all I really care about. And that being married to her makes me a better man than I would be without her. Because I want to strive to that end. So that was the gist of my talk, in a nutshell. Martin, thoughts and comments, observations?
This is a very timely subject. And one of the reasons that it's occurring, one of the reasons that there are problems with marriages and marriage rates is that there are incentives that are actually given, particularly to women, to get a divorce. You can divorce your husband. You can get child support. You can probably stay in the marital home, probably keep all of your children. And so there are not many financial incentives to stay married. In addition, once you've been divorced like that, if you do have alimony payments, there's a disincentive to actually not cheat. And to actually get married again. And by not cheat, I mean if you have some kind of affair with somebody, what after you're divorced, you could lose your alimony. And so people do things like that clandestinely, and that further contributes to the idea of staying separate and apart after you've divorced once. My hat's off to Bruce because obviously that didn't happen to him and his current wonderful wife, but many people fall into that particular thing. If you just are more selfless and think of your children, the idea of staying married is usually the only way to go. There are certainly times when it isn't, when there's been some kind of infidelity or serious abuse. But the biggest single predictor of poverty in the United States is if a child is born to a single parent household. And other studies, study after study after study, has shown that children are mentally more healthy and more happy and present with fewer psychological problems if they are raised in a two-parent household where you have a father and a mother. It does not work as well if you have two women trying to rear children, or if you have two men, contrary to popular belief today. It does not work as well because there are feminine qualities, there are also masculine qualities, and without both, children do not do as well. Another thing that happens that it is apparent anytime you pull on the knob or push the remote box and start to watch any ads on television or cable, you will see that typically the woman is portrayed as smart, bright, wonderful, and the husband or the guy's kind of the idiot or the slow one or who doesn't do what he's been told. This is sort of a continuation of what is often called in studies the Homer Simpson syndrome. And that is portraying the husbands and the sons as kind of the fumbling fools and idiots and those who are not honest in comparison with the mothers and the daughters. The tragic part is that today, if you look at the Simpsons, they actually look pretty good because it's an intact family. And a lot of what you see out there today doesn't even amount to an intact family. So families in the United States are in trouble, and the competition is sort of from within, not from without, because as Bruce pointed out, anybody can find horrible chat areas on the internet to just reinforce your idea that you ought to get divorced and leave your family
Or never get married at all.
or not get married at all. And marriage is an integral part of God's plan. And the idea of being married is not an easy one, but neither is anything else that is really useful. Nothing that is of huge value is easy. And the church has the correct approach in the proclamation on the family, even though it is decried as old-fashioned and inappropriate by many people today. So take a look at the proclamation on the family, read through it, think about it, maybe discuss it with your children, because if they don't live according to it or find that its values are outdated, that will not be a good thing for them or for society as a whole. One, go
Oh, go
ahead,
ahead.
Bruce, go ahead.
I was just going to say, going back to the proclamation, Martin and I are old enough to remember when it came out, and it was 30 years ago. And frankly, my reaction, I think the most reaction of most of the church members at the time was, oh, that's nice. And now 30 years later, I see it as one of the most important and significant prophetic pronouncements really since the revelation on priesthood. Because it anticipated by 30 years the core issues that plague, frankly, the country and the world today. So it's and there are members who are very upset with it and say, well, it's not doctrinal or whatever, and frankly, that's just silly. It's a United Proclamation by the First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12. It takes a lot of sophistry to try and say it's not doctrine, when that sort of meets the church's own definition of doctrine. The First Presidency and the Quorum of the 12 speaking unitedly, and President Nelson, President Oakes, and President Eyring have all made individual statements making it clear that this is doctrine. It's not canonized. I fully expect that to happen at some point here. In fact, I suspect all three of the proclamations will be canonized together at some point. I just don't know when that will occur. So it's but it lays out the blueprint. It lays out the blueprint, and It was inspired that it was given 30 years ago, and it addresses so many of the core social issues in the world today. Martin, back to you.
There's a wonderful book on one aspect of this topic. There were two authors, one named Paul Nathanson and the other Catherine Young. And in their 2001 book, they wrote about this phenomenon that the title of their book is Spreading Misandry, subtitled The Teaching of Contempt for Men in Popular Culture, close quote. And in it talks about how everywhere you turn, you find examples in TV shows, in commercials, in magazines, in all kinds of other contexts, of demoralizing men, of laughing at men, looking down on men, blaming men for everything and dehumanizing them. One of the things that you see pop up a lot in culture are comments about how men are literally unnecessary. And you think to yourself, unnecessary? Who's going to build those buildings and build the freeways and fix everything when it breaks? How's that going to work out for you? It's a fascinating phenomenon that somehow we live in a culture where it's seen as unnecessary for there to be marriages and for there to be intact families for children.
Yeah. Anyway, that's about all I had to say there. I mean, we could talk about it at length, but those were my thoughts. And we need to teach our kids to get married. That ultimately is what matters in the long run. I'm 72. I've done a lot of interesting stuff. You know, you can Google my name and find me all over the internet and see things I've done and so on. And none of that matters. The only thing that matters to me right now is my sweet wife and our wonderful kids and grandkids. And that is a vastly more important accomplishment and legacy than anything I've done in my professional life.
That is absolutely right. And with that, we will sign off and say thank you for joining Bruce Webster and me, Martin Tanner, with this discussion about the family. Join us again next time on another Interpreter Foundation podcast.